meekness is strength. Strength, listen, under control. I love that definition. It's strength under control and dispensed with wisdom. If you think of a wild horse, right, or a wild stallion who's been tamed, you have an animal in that situation that has immense strength, that is now under control, that is powerful and beautiful.
Live in the Light listeners, hey, if you don't already have it there, get your bookmark into Matthew 5 because we will be camping out here for a while as we read through Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. Hey, as always, if you've missed the first few messages in our series, you can go back online at any time at liveinthelight.ca and listen to those there. Today we are in Matthew chapter 5 verses 5 and 6 with a message titled, Oh, to be humble, hungry, and holy. Hey Robbie, great to be in the studio with you today.
You too, Shannon. Yes, and that alliteration we love, isn't it? The three H's.
That's
pertaining
else.
Pertaining to the Sermon on the Mount, starting with the Beatitudes. This is the path to blessing guaranteed. You heard that right. In the words of Jesus, he promises, blessed are, happy are, fulfilled are those who pursue the following. Again, if you desire, and I do, we do, we want to be in God's path of blessing and favor. It's not as the world deems, it's not as the world defines, but it's exactly right in God's word. This is why the Beatitudes are so foundational. And I'll say this too, Shannon, that Beatitudes in many ways have defined my entire ministry and even, again, the church that we're a part of right now, because it's just so simple, but so beautiful. It's not easy, but it is simple. And today, specifically, blessed are the meek. So what does that mean? What is Jesus going for? Well, we see here today that meekness and its magnitude is magnificent. Hey, that's more alliteration.
That's a good
there
one.
You go. There you go. So again, all our listeners right now, we pray God will speak to you specifically and powerfully where you are. As always too, our Live in the Light team here works very hard to bring you God's word that your life might be changed. If God is speaking to you and encouraging you, we love, love, love to hear from you. Take a moment, send us an email. Again, leave a voice message, whatever it is. Allow us to know how God is working again in your life and heart. That would be such an encouragement to us. So, Shannon, excited today. Blessed are the meek.
Humble, hungry, and holy. What a fantastic starting point for a believer. Let's go. Matthew 5, verses 5 and 6.
So we're continuing to dive into our series here. This is the third week in the Sermon on the Mount. And really what's happened in the beginning of this Matthew chapter 5 is Jesus begins the greatest sermon ever given. He's going through the details of the life that is guaranteed to be blessed by God. That's what's happening. He's like, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. He's like, here is the life I guarantee that will be blessed in a joy and a happiness and a fulfillment that the world does not even have a clue about, but is only found in the supernatural life lived in Jesus Christ, okay? This is what we are continuing to do. We are in the Beatitudes as we do this as well. So as we get started today, and specifically in verses 5 and 6, many of you will know that my favorite sport is football. I grew up playing it. I played it for 13 years before high school, and university. I've coached it for many, many years. And of course, now I watch it as well. My favorite long-suffering team is the Buffalo Bills. Many of you will know that as well. Many tears over the years, absolutely. Much pain, much suffering, much perseverance has been required. It's really a nice compliment to the need of the Beatitudes in my life as well. But in recent years as a Bills fan, there's been more hope. There has been more hope. It's been quite exciting. And one of the main reasons is the coach. His name is Sean McDermott. He is a man of high character. And you could see as soon as he came in, all these disastrous, you know, coaches over the years, he comes in, man of character, and he has a faith of some kind for sure. Again, I can't see into his heart, whatever, but a Christian faith of some kind, and it's made a huge difference. It's really interesting to me that one of the things that really blessed me when he came in and kind of his leadership upon the team was his motto for the Bills. And his motto was this, it was humble and hungry. I'm like, really? like humble and hungry. Because, I mean, if you've been around this church for a bit, and maybe it's been a bit since you've heard this, but from the beginning, we've often had three H's biblically describing a disciple within this church. And those would be humility, hunger, and holiness. And that has been something we have repeated again for many, many years over different times. And so, again, I've been so encouraged as I'm cheering for this team. And here's this coach that's taken at least two-thirds of what we would hold again so dear. How they're applied is who knows exactly, right? But again, here right now in this place, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, the three main components of what that looks like, we're going to see today right from our passage, is humility, hunger, and holiness is essential to being blessed by Jesus Christ within our lives. In fact, in Matthew 5, verses 5 and 6, again, this is what's being said. And that's, again, our text today. And our title today then is this, "Oh, to be humble, hungry, and holy." Again, this is what our passage is saying. In many ways, for the church of Jesus Christ then, this should be our motto as we seek to live our lives authentically in Christ. We want to be humble and hungry and holy. Why? Because this is, listen carefully, this is 100% guaranteed to be blessed. A genuine pursuit. Maybe you're visiting with us today. I'm so glad you're here. I don't know exactly where you're coming from. The Lord does. You need to be aware, okay? No matter where you come from, where you are, 100% guaranteed blessing in your life is if you pursue the humility in Christ, a hunger for the righteousness of Christ, and a holiness only found in Christ. And notice the common denominator in all of that is Christ. It's not us, it's Christ. Jesus is the answer. When you pursue humility, hunger, and holiness, 100% you are guaranteed to be in the path of blessing and reward as Jesus Christ promises as well. You know what I think about often too is often I think we make our lives so complicated and it doesn't need to be. We make our lives so complicated of all these different factors, whatever. I mean, I think Jesus wants us to simplify it and he just wants us to understand, man, he's like, my child, son, daughter, if you just pursue humility before me, hunger for me and of holiness in me, he's like, your life will start to have massive impact and change. Hey, loved ones, let's stop making life so complicated. Like, shut down the noise, man. Like, close down the apps. Like, just stop with all the news all the time, man. Take away social media for a bit. Stop pursuing all these other things that just add confusion and complication and distraction. And you're like, just put it away for a bit and look at Christ. This is what's happening in the Beatitudes. Like, try that for a few months and see what happens. We make it so complicated. Christ is like, I never asked you to do all those things. I never asked you to be frenzied about all these other things that are happening. I want you to be about me. I want you to pursue me hunger and thirsting for righteousness and to see the power of meekness and humility upon your life. So look at Matthew 5. We have two verses today. We're really going out on a limb here trying to get through two verses, but we're going to try to do that today. And trust me, it was tough this week, man. So we got to keep moving. But look at Matthew 5, verse 5. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And then he says, "Blessed are those happy, fulfilled, eternally content," is what blessed means. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be," one of my favorite words in the Bible right here. What's that last word again? Satisfied or filled. Satisfied. Man, that's so needed in our day. So again, one more time, I'll say this. Here's the life guaranteed to be blessed by God, supernaturally guaranteed to be blessed by God. So, I mean, if we're wise, we're like, I'm all in. If we're dumb, we're like, no, I'm moving on to what the world wants. So anyways, but if we're wise, we're like, yep. This is the path. I want to follow it. You're like, Pastor, help me understand. Okay, let's do that together. If I want God's blessing on my life, number one, we have 2 points today. Number one, I must understand the magnitude of meekness. I must understand the magnitude of meekness. So Jesus begins in verse 5. He says, "Blessed are the meek. Happy, fulfilled, internally content are the meek." Question for you today. How would you define the word meek? How would you define meekness? I find it's a word that's not often used. I mean, it is sometimes, but not often. Often we have different synonyms for this word we might want to apply. How would you define meekness? Take a moment. I just would love you to consider to yourself. A word that's not often used, but it's a word biblically that has exceptional depth, as we're going to see here. Huge life change. Let's remember contextually too, okay? When the Jewish people heard the rumors that the Messiah had arrived, right? There was massive amounts of talking going on, and the buzz of the ministry of this Jesus of Nazareth and the miracles he was doing and the commotion that was starting around and surrounding him, just incredible things were going on. The Jewish person, when they heard that the Messiah might be here, they immediately went to military hero, a man of conquest that would set them free from their Roman oppressors. Okay, this is what they were wanting. This is what their idea of the Messiah would be. The one who has come to set us free physically from the tyrants that oppress us. Jesus stands up in the third line of the greatest sermon ever, and he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Okay, not exactly William Wallace, okay? Not exactly, "You can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom." And they all go and die to the death for battle. Not exactly what Jesus is saying there. And yet what he says, "Blessed are the meek," is the eternal pathway for victory of eternal life. It's just so counter to what we think someone should say as they come to bring salvation to the world and all who follow him. And he knows what he's doing. And he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So when we think of meekness, one way to look at this as well, meekness, or if we go back to verse 3, poor in spirit is primarily how I view myself, right? I see that poor in spirit is, I see I'm spiritually bankrupt. I see that I have nothing to offer in myself. I see that I am in desperate need of a savior to save me from myself. Meekness is more primarily how I relate now to God and others around me. Poor in spirit, mourning, how I relate to myself, or I see myself. Meekness, primarily how I view God or others around me and the difference it makes when meekness or humility starts to fill my life. I also want you to notice the chronological sequence of the Beatitudes, because this is a big deal. They are in this order for a reason, right? So notice this. Poor in spirit is fundamentally first. That leads to a mourning over sin. I see I have nothing. I mourn over my sin before God. And then notice, it's brokenness that leads to meekness. This is brokenness, these things put together. You will not find meekness apart from these things happening first. That's very, very important for us to understand. The person who is meek must be broken. The person who's going to demonstrate the fruit of meekness must understand this sequence happening in their lives before a holy God, before the fruit of that will be seen from your life or from mine. Meekness, again, very powerful. Let's unpack now specifically in more detail this biblical word of meekness. I'm on the screen beside me or behind me. Let's just a few other words, because in the English language, it's very hard in one word to define meekness. So let's then unpack it with a few other words, a few other synonyms. Meekness is gentleness. It is gentleness. Remember, gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the same root word as Matthew 5:5. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, Jesus said about himself, "I am gentle," same word as Matthew 5:5. "I am gentle and lowly in heart." So notice here, Jesus says, "I am meek, I am gentle and lowly in heart." The more we become like Jesus Christ, the more then automatically gentleness, meekness starts to become a part of our character as well. The closer we get to Christ, the more gentle in spirit, the more loving and meek we become as well. We have good days and bad days, of course, but we're moving in that direction. Notice right away too then, if meekness ultimately comes from Christ or the Holy Spirit, right? Remember, notice, meekness then can't be manufactured. You don't wake up. We don't wake up in one morning and say, "Okay, today I'm going to be meek. I'm going to put my little recipe in my little smoothie, spiritual smoothie formula, blend it up and drink it down. I'm meek today." We can't do that. Meekness is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him working in us. It is being changed from one degree of glory to another, His work of grace in our lives. Think about it too, right? Meekness closely related to gentleness, fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Where does the fruit of the Spirit come from? The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Robbie, right? Right? It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to see that fruit in our lives, it's coming from the Spirit of God who dwells within us if we are genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Meekness is gentleness. So this is when we got to be practical and we have to just be honest with ourselves. When we are mean-spirited, when we are harsh with others, when we have outbursts of anger, when we go through moments of rage, when we power over people, abusing our authority in various situations, let's be very clear. None of those are meekness. All of those are sin. Let's not try to slap a spiritual label upon a sinful outburst of rage and anger. We're just kidding ourselves, and we're certainly not fooling the Lord. When our lives are built on such moments and pursuits of anger, harshness, abusing authority, rage, let's be also clear, that is a life God will not bless. He does not bless such things. There are some of us in this room, we think God does bless anger and sinful resentment and rage. And we try to convince ourselves when we're doing this, somehow they deserve it and we're entitled. No. Blessed are the meek, not blessed are the moronic. No, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. By the way, too, if anger, let's say sinful anger, there is a righteous anger, but if anger, sinful anger is our issue, then verse 5 is not happening, right? Meekness not happening. We're going to go back to verses 3 and 4 because that's the pathway to meekness. If I have serious issues with rage or whatever it is, I need to be poor in spirit. I need to mourn over sin. I need to be right before a holy God, and then the fruit of meekness has a chance to be seen through my life, because the person who is bearing the fruit and the evidence and character of meekness, they are not a person that's going to be in a position to sin in the ways that we just described. Because the one who is meek has power under control, as we will see as well. So meekness is gentleness. Meekness is also this, it's humility. We've already said this in some way. So meekness can be defined as this. I love this. Okay, listen carefully. Meekness can be defined as a controlled desire to see others advance. I'll say that again. Meekness can be defined as a controlled desire to see others advance in our lives. Moses is called in the Pentateuch the meekest man, the humblest man on earth. And I love that story. When others are prophesying, Moses, the main leader, others are prophesying, Joshua, young Joshua, he sees that others are prophesying and he's afraid these other people will steal the thunder of Moses. And he runs up to Moses and he tells Moses what's happening. These other people are prophesying, and Moses senses that Joshua is jealous for the sake of Moses. And then Moses says this in his incredible meekness. He says, Joshua, would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. That is meekness. A controlled desire to see others advance. By the way, do you think Joshua remembered that moment? For the rest of his life, Joshua was like, whoa, man, I did not see that coming. And that was an awesome lesson of humility and meekness within his life that Moses, again, was exemplifying there. So under the category of humility, notice meekness will also be this. Meekness is also a refusal to defend oneself. So a huge part of meekness is you know you're under the care and the sovereign rule of God Almighty. When we are growing in meekness, that means increasingly we trust the Lord with everything. Meekness trusts the Lord with our reputations. our rights, our future, our justice. Jesus, the perfection of meekness, 1 Peter 2 says that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return, but listen to this, he continued to entrust himself to the one who acts justly. That's Jesus. He entrusted his future to his Father in heaven, who is sovereign over all judgment and all time and every human being who's ever lived. Meekness refuses to defend oneself because we trust the Lord that he knows much better and he will do. That's powerful. That's convicting. Meekness also then leads to contentment. See, when we are not filled with contentment, we lack meekness because meekness is constantly aware that I, if I'm saved in Christ, I am in Christ. And if I am in Christ, then I have the greatest treasure that I could, the infinitely valuable treasure of eternal life in Jesus Christ. If I have him, honestly, theologically speaking, what else do I need then? Meekness understands that. So meekness operates out of every day I wake up and I'm like, I have been given the eternal treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, there's nothing else I ultimately need. So meekness is dripping from the Apostle Paul when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right? By the way, this is a great kind of companion to the Beatitudes so far that we've gone through. As sorrowful, mourning, right? Yet always rejoicing. As poor, he has nothing, yet making many rich in the gospel, many rich for Jesus. They have Jesus Christ. Notice this, I love this. He's like, we have nothing, nothing in an earthly sense, but we possess everything in a spiritual sense. That's meekness. That's meekness. Having nothing, possessing everything. All the leaders in the room, everyone in the room. Like, I really encourage you to walk around in life and remind yourself of the gospel out loud and to recite all that you've been blessed with, all that you have in Jesus Christ as a powerful attack on the lies that confront us on a daily basis of all the things the world says we need. It is so powerful to say, there's nothing else I need. I possess everything in Jesus Christ. When you desire that next new gadget, you desire that next new promotion, you desire that next whatever thing for your house or car or vacation, whatever it is, and you can look those things in the face, I do not need it. I have everything in Christ. That's meekness. Meekness is harnessing the reality of what we've been given, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Meekness is powerful too because it comes through a low view of self. I love this, right? So when you're growing in meekness, you're not really impressed with self, right? So like, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, right? You're not very impressed with yourself when you see yourself as poor in spirit and mourning over your sin before God, and you move into meekness, so you're not really impressed with yourself at all. A great test of true meekness then is this: how defensive do we become when we're attacked or when we're accused? That's an important one. Hey, are you super sensitive when people attack you or accuse you? For some of us, it's like, man, even just someone, a suggestion of anything other than we're perfect. And we're like, we sort of scary there. Yeah, whatever. But we like, we pounce in the time in our defense and our inner lawyer comes up in so many different ways. And we're, oh yeah. And we start, that is the opposite of meekness. Sorry for the conviction. I'm not really, but you know, but I want you to just think of this, just don't want to rush through this right now because I want the Holy Spirit to be able to just apply on several levels. Meekness is like, well, at the end of the day, if I view myself as I say I do, well, then when I'm accused, I'm like, yeah, you got a good point. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm not so great. And I got issues. So here's what Martin Lloyd-Jones says about this. I love this stuff, man. It's so good. He says this. He says, to be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we see there's nothing worth defending. Yes, that's good. That good? It's so anti-flesh and so anti-world. Let's just look at that for a second again. Just let the cycles of conviction set in. So good. Right? So like, but meekness is like, I'm not going to protect myself because in the end, there's nothing worth defending. John Stott, picking up on this, he was a great preacher, and picking up with Lloyd-Jones, he said this, he says, I myself am quite happy to recite the general confession in the church, which included this phrase, and call myself a miserable sinner. It causes me no problem, he said. I can take it in stride, but let somebody else come up to me after church and call me a miserable sinner, and I want to punch them in the nose. Right? Like that's really good too, right? Like that's something that for like my own self, it's easy for me to call myself a sinner and for me to do that when someone else comes up and calls me a sinner. That's a different ballgame. And that just shows, again, the sinfulness in my heart or your heart, whatever it is. But meekness in the end says, I'm a sinner. Someone else says, you're a sinner. And you're like, right, I am a sinner. A growing meekness, you're not so defensive about the truth that lies within. Meekness is gentleness, meekness is humility, but make sure you understand this, meekness is also strength. Now, I love this a lot, okay? So let's be really careful. We think of meekness, in this sense, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not flabby. Meekness is not wimpy. Meekness is not cowardice. Meekness is, hear me, it is not a lack of conviction. Meekness is not timidity and cowering in the corner, afraid of any situation. That is not biblical meekness. Meekness is strength. Strength, listen, under control. I love that definition. It's strength under control and dispensed with wisdom. If you think of a wild horse, right, or a wild stallion who's been tamed, you have an animal in that situation that has immense strength, that is now under control, that is powerful and beautiful. The strength of that, again, stallion or wild horse has now been harnessed to be used with tremendous effectiveness and fruitfulness. That's meekness. I think a good example of this in the Bible is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. So Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the world, the sovereign God, the Lamb of God, the one who will judge the living and the dead, the great I am, he stoops down and takes on one of the lowest examples of humility the world has ever known, and he washes the feet, that debased practice in that time for the lowliest of servants. He washes the disciples' feet in act of humility and meekness. But here's what I love about that thing. As he's washing the disciples' feet, no one in that room questions who's in charge. Every single person knows exactly who's in charge at that precise moment because they know where the power lies. Meekness. That's a beautiful example of Jesus exercising and demonstrating meekness. What an act of humility. So meekness then has no confidence in the flesh, but has every confidence in the Lord. Meekness really is power surrendered to the Lord. You don't abuse the power that you have. You surrender it to the Lord that he might distribute that and lead you in that with the strength that you've been given for good that results in him getting glory from our lives. When your confidence is truly in the Lord, what happens? Then you don't need to retaliate. You are also willing to entrust yourself to him who acts justly. So meekness in that sense is also long-suffering.
These messages aired each day are made possible by Live in the Light Power Partners, a generous group of donors who have pledged to give at least $30 a month to see the gospel advance. If you'd like to become a Power Partner, or learn more about our ministry at Live in the Light, please visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for listening today, and please join us again next time here on Live in the Light.